We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yat cha vrajantya animisham rishabhanuvritya dure yama hi upari na Sprihaniya Shila Bhartur Mita Suyashasa Katanuraga Vaiklavya Bashpa Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga Yascha Rajantya Nimisham Prashanuvritya Yascha Rajantya Nimisham Prashanuvritya Dure yama yuparina sprihaniya shila.
Dure yama yuparina sprihaniya shila.
Bhartur mita suyashasa katananuraga.
Bhartur mita suyashasa katananuraga.
Vaiklavya bashpa kalaya pulaki kritanga. Yascha Rajantya Nimisham Rishabhanuvritya Dure Yama Yuparina Sprihaniya Shila Bhartur Mita Suyashasa Katananuraga Vaiklavya Bashpa Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga
Vaiklavya Bashpa Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga
Yascha Vrajantya Nimisham Rishabhanuvritya Dureya mayu aparina prinisha
Bhartur mita suyashasa katananuraga
Bhartur mita suyashasa katananuraga
Vaiklavya bhaspa kalaya pulaki kritanga
Vaiklavya bhaspa kalaya pulaki kritanga Chavrajantya Nimisham Rishabhanuvritya
Ureya Mayu Aparina Sprihaniya Shila
Bhartur Mitasu Yashasa Nanuraga. I love Yabashpa Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga. Ladies? Chadra Jantya Nimisham Rishavanu Vitya. Reya Mayu Akhani Yashila. Artur Mita Suyashasa Katananuraga. I love Yabashpa Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga. Chavrajantya Nimisham Vishavanu Vritya. Dureya Mayu Avinasya Shila. Artur Mitai Lashasa Katananuraga. Vaiklavya Bhashpa Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga. Yet Vaikuntha. Cha. And. Vrajanti. Go. Animisham. Of the demigods. Rishabha. Chief. Anuvritya. Following in the footsteps. Dure, keeping at a distance. Yama, regulative principles. He, certainly. Upari, above. Na, us. Sprihaniya. To be desired. Shila. Good qualities. Bhartu. Of the Supreme Lord. Mita. For one another. Suyashasa. Glories. Katana. By discussions. Discourses. Anuraga. Attraction. Vaiklavya. Ecstasy. Bhashpa Kalaya. Tears in the eyes. Pulaki Krita. Shivering. Anga. Bodies. Translation. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God. Even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities, the kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Please repeat. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy,
persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy,
and who breathe heavily and perspire, due to hearing the glories of the Lord, are promoted to the kingdom of God. Even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is clearly stated herein that the kingdom of God is above the material universes. Just as there are many hundreds of thousands of higher planets above this earth, so there are many millions and billions of spiritual planets belonging to the spiritual sky. Brahmaji states herein that the spiritual kingdom is above the kingdom of the demigods. One can enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Supreme Lord, only when one is highly developed in desirable qualities. All good qualities develop in the person of a devotee. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, verse 12, that anyone who is Krishna conscious is endowed with all the good qualities of the demigods. That's Yasasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana. In the material world, the qualities of the demigods are highly appreciated. Just as, even in our experience, the qualities of a gentleman are more highly appreciated than the qualities of a man in ignorance or in a lower condition of life. The qualities of the demigods in the higher planets are far superior to the qualities of the inhabitants of this earth. Brahmaji confirms herewith that only persons who have developed the desirable qualities can enter into the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotees' desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. So, my dear devotees, as we read through this list, you can think of yourselves to what extent you are developing or manifesting these 26 desirable qualities. They are stated as follows. He is very kind. He does not quarrel with anyone. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal of life. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in his character. He is magnanimous, mild, and always clean, internally and externally. He does not profess to possess anything in this material world. He is a benefactor to all living entities. He is peaceful and is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desire to fulfill. He is meek and humble, always steady, and has conquered the sensual activities. He does not eat more than required to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. He is respectful to all others and does not demand respect for himself. He is very grave, very compassionate, and very friendly. He is poetic. He is expert in all activities, and he is silent in nonsense. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, verse 21, the qualifications of a saintly person are mentioned. Yes, Titikshava Karunika Suridam Sarvadehinam. It is said there that a saintly person eligible to enter into the kingdom of God is very tolerant and very kind to all living entities. He is not partial. He is kind both to human beings and to animals. He is not such a fool that he will kill a goat Narayan to feed a human Narayan or Daridra Narayan. He is very kind to all living entities. Therefore, he has no enemy. He is very peaceful. These are the qualities of a person who is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. That such a person gradually becomes liberated and enters the kingdom of God is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse 2. The Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, verse 24, also states that if a person does not cry or exhibit bodily changes after chanting the holy name of God without offense, it is to be understood that he is hard-hearted and that therefore his heart does not change even after he chants the holy name of God. Hare Krishna. These bodily changes can take place due to ecstasy when we offenselessly chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. My dear devotees, please note these carefully so we can avoid them. The first offense is to decry persons who try in their lives to broadcast the glories of the Lord. People must be educated in understanding the glories of the Supreme. Therefore, the devotees who engage in preaching the glories of the Lord are never to be decried. It is the greatest offense. Sadhu Ninda, blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. Furthermore, the holy name of Vishnu is the most auspicious name, and his qualities are also non-different from the holy name of the Lord. There are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Hare Krishna or chant the name of Kali or Durga or Shiva because they are all the same. If one thinks that the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the names and activities of the demigods are on the same level, or if one accepts the holy name of Vishnu to be a material sound vibration, that is also an offense. So there is a popular magazine in India called the Illustrated Weekly of India. Jai Shri Shraddha Gokulanandi Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaurani Thai Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmananamai Ki Jai. And the editor for many years was one Kushwant Singh, who was a demon. And he published an article which was an account by one Dr. Agayananda Bharati, who was an Austrian. Well, he took sannyas in a Mayavad line. So this article related Dr. Bharati's account of his discussion with our Hridayananda Das Goswami. And the editor, Kushwant Singh, titled the article, Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And by choosing that title, I could see that he was trying to make us all look foolish, that, oh, how silly, you know, arguing over Hare Krishna or Shiva Shiva. So I wrote my impression to Srila Prabhupada, and he replied, yes. Bharati is a fool, but Singh is a demon. So, there are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Hare Krishna or chant the name of Kali or Durga or Shiva because they are all the same. The third offense is to think of the spiritual master who spreads the glories of the Lord as an ordinary human being. So this offense is Gurur Avagya, which means to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And here Srila Prabhupada gives the underlying psychology of someone who would disobey the orders of the spiritual master, and that is to think of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being. The fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas or other transcendentally revealed scriptures, to be ordinary books of knowledge. So there are different degrees of offense. This was illustrated in the past time when Bhrigu Muni attested Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu to see who was the best, who was perfectly situated in goodness. And with Lord Brahma, who was his father, he neglected to offer obeisances, which was considered to be an offense committed within the mind. He didn't say anything wrong or do anything wrong, but he failed to offer obeisances when he should have. So that was considered an offense within the mind. Next, he met Lord Shiva, who was his brother. And Lord Shiva came forward to embrace him. And Bhrigu Muni said, "Don't touch me, stay away from me, you're dirty. You're always associating with ghosts and hobgoblins and stay away from me." So that was considered an offense committed with the words. And then finally he went to Lord Vishnu, who was reclining. His lotus feet were being massaged by Lakshmi. And he actually kicked Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu was so supreme, he said, my dear Bhrigu Muni, please forgive me for not receiving you properly. I hope that my chest was not too hard. I hope that it didn't hurt your lotus feet. So that was an offense committed with the body. So within the mind is serious, with words is more serious, and with the body is most serious. So now coming back to this fourth offense, which is sometimes said to be blaspheming the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. So certainly to blaspheme the Vedic literatures is an offense with the words, but not to read them, not to attend classes in the Vedic literatures and participate in discussions, that would also be an offense committed within the mind. Srila Prabhupada translated these books. He hardly slept at night. He was up translating while we were all sleeping to give us these books. And we should value his effort and make it fruitful by reading his books and applying his instructions in our lives. The fifth offense is to think that devotees have given artificial importance to the holy name of God. The actual fact is that the Lord is non-different from his name. The highest realization of spiritual value is to chant the holy name of God as prescribed for the age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this one purport, Srila Prabhupada has quoted the entire Hare Krishna Maha Mantra twice. So yes, this offense is to consider the glories of the holy name to be imagination. And one will think so if one does not chant properly and realize the glories of the holy name. His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, who conducts japa retreats and workshops, commented that he felt devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, as he said it with his German accent, were schizophrenic. They have split personalities, because our motto is chant and be happy, but still devotees chant and they're not happy. And that phenomenon inspired him to do these japa retreats and workshops so devotees would actually experience the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. And then they wouldn't think that the glories of the holy name are imagination. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of God. The seventh offense is to act sinfully on the strength of chanting the holy name of God. It is understood that one can be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of God. But if one thinks that he is therefore at liberty to commit all kinds of sinful acts and then neutralize them by chanting, that is a symptom of offense. So, yeah, not only is it offensive, but it doesn't work. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give the example of Christians who go to church on Sunday and confess, and they do get benefit by confessing. But then they go out and commit the same sinful actions, and then they come back again on Sunday and confess again. So that's not the idea. We confess, we become purified, but then we should not commit sin again. And similarly with chanting. By chanting, we do become freed from sinful reactions, but we shouldn't think we can take advantage of it and deliberately engage in sin and then neutralize the effects by chanting. The eighth offense is to equate the chanting of Hare Krishna with other spiritual activities, such as meditation, austerity, penance, or sacrifice. They cannot be equated at any level. Or, you know, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedas as a fruitive activity. In 1973, Srimati Leelavati Munshi, who was the widow of late Kanayalal Munshi, was the founder of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, organized a conference at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, and the theme of the conference was that the Bhagavad Gita could solve all problems. And before the session began, she invited the special guests to her library to meet and discuss. So one of the men there, I don't recall his name, he had white hair and a long beard. He said to Srila Prabhupada that he would have large gatherings, and in the gatherings he would tell people to chant the holy names, and that if they chanted the holy names, they would become freed from their physical ailments and diseases. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, I'm gathering people together and you're gathering people together. I'm getting them to chant the holy names and you're getting them to chant the holy names. We should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are doing is against our principles. Because the holy name is Krishna, we are meant to be servants of Krishna, and we are not meant to engage Krishna in our service to cure us of physical diseases. So that would be an example of the eighth offense. The ninth offense is to specifically glorify the importance of the holy name before persons who have no interest, as to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. Srila Prabhupada was meeting with a professor in Stockholm, Sweden, and in the course of that conversation, one of Prabhupada's disciples began to glorify the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada stopped him, and he said that that the professor does not have faith yet, and so it's not proper to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. First, we have to create faith in him on the basis of logic and reason. Then when he has faith, we can speak about the glories of the holy name. I had my own experience, not exactly the same, but I was with my father, and you know, one of Srila Prabhupada's first books was Easy Journey to Other Planets, and it was written in sort of scientific terms. So, you know, my father was a rational, scientific person. So I thought I would speak to him about Easy Journey to Other Planets. And as I was speaking to him, how a yogi could travel to other planets, he looked at me like, "Son, I thought you were crazy before, but this has removed any doubt." So that's, it's sort of like preaching to the faithless. The tenth offense is to be attached to the misconception of possessing something, or to accept the body as oneself while executing the process of spiritual cultivation. Yes, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. That is offensive. Because we're chanting Chaito Darpano Marjanam to become free from material desires and attachments. So to maintain them while chanting is contradictory and offensive to the holy name. It's not an offense to have material attachments. It's an anartha, but it's not an offense. But to maintain them while chanting is an offense. So usually after... Well, yeah, Srila Prabhupada instructed that we recite the 10 offenses in the morning after Mangalarti before we chant japa as a reminder to help us to chant without offense. And generally, after reading the list from the Nectar of Devotion, a devotee will add, "It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting." So Sanskrit is such a language that the words can be combined in different ways with different meanings. And in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis of the 10 offenses, which he gives in his book Harinam Chintamani, he finds the 10th of the offense of inattention to be the 9th offense, pramadaha. And he says that if one chants attentively, all the other offenses will be eradicated. But if one is inattentive while chanting, all the other offenses will flourish. So it's most important that we are attentive while chanting. Another god brother who often gives japa retreats and workshops is His Grace Mahatma Das. And he has commented that devotees have become very expert at using their left hands, because while their right hand is in their bead bag, with their left hand, whatever, they're checking their emails or cleaning the house or whatever it is, they get very expert with using their left hand. So, yeah, we should not do that. We should be attentive. Be attentive. When one is freed from all 10 of these offenses in chanting the holy name of God, he develops the ecstatic bodily features called pulakashu. Pulaka means symptoms of happiness, and ashu means tears in the eyes. The symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes must appear in a person who has chanted the holy name offenselessly. Here in this verse, it is stated that those who have actually developed the symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes by chanting the glories of the Lord are eligible to enter the kingdom of God, which is our goal. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. That's what we need, a nice remedy. There it is said in verse 31, chapter 8 of Adi Lila, that if anyone takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, he becomes free from all offenses. So this discussion is very important, and therefore I will read a little from that Adi Lila chapter 8. So I'll begin with texts 29 and 30, because they give the background, which Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Texts 29 and 30. If one chants the exalted holy name of the Lord again and again, and yet his love for the Supreme Lord does not develop, and tears do not appear in his eyes, it is evident that because of his offenses and chanting, the seed of the holy name of Krishna does not sprout. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one chants the Hare Krishna mantra offensively, one does not achieve the desired result. Therefore, one should carefully avoid the offenses which have already been described in connection with verse 24. And we just discussed those. Text 31. Chaitanya Nityanande Nahi Esaba Vichara Namalaiti Prema Dena Vahe Ashudara. But if one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he feels the ecstasy of love for God. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks in this connection that if one takes shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, follows their instructions to become more tolerant than the tree and humbler than the grass, and in this way chants the holy name of the Lord, very soon he achieves the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord, and tears appear in his eyes. There are offenses to be considered in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but there are no such considerations in chanting the names of Gaur Nityananda. Therefore, in spite of being an offender, one, If one chants the names of Gaur Nityananda, he is very quickly freed from the reactions to his offenses. So we do this in kirtan. We chant the Panchatattva mantra before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. And some devotees, including myself, we also chant the Panchatattva mantra before each round of japa.